And here in Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki for the local news department. Today is Monday, March 16th. This is our third show on coronavirus here in Petersburg. And we have a bunch of guests in the studio today in multiple parts of the studio. Hopefully it all works and they can hear us and we can hear them. But you are listening to the latest updates on coronavirus here in Petersburg. We've been trying to keep you posted on decisions, things that are canceled, things that are changing here in the community. Let's jump right in. Sandy Dixon, who is in charge of local emergency planning here in Petersburg, maybe you could give us an overview about what the latest is on planning for the eventual arrival of coronavirus here in town.
Well, we've been trying to stay in contact with different entities in the community, trying to get accurate information, staying in touch with the state and the federal government. That's through email, obviously. I'm not calling anyone at the federal level. We are planning for the COVID virus to come to Petersburg, so we're encouraging everyone to do their part and help, quote-unquote, flatten the curve. So when it does hit Petersburg, it doesn't hit all at once. The borough has currently closed the public library and the parks and rec facility. We are not cutting off access to the borough departments yet. However, we are encouraging people to pay by phone or make phone calls, go on the internet and pay online, those types of things to help reduce exposure.
Other services from the borough are continuing, I assume, utilities and everything, and the dump and everything.
Yeah, each department is talking and working with plan and their employees to maybe alternate shifts, so not everybody's on the same shift, and that if somebody does get sick, then other people can cover.
Okay. Has the volunteer fire department had to change its operations at all to get ready? Or
we did. Yeah. We brought the surplus ambulance, the old Medic 2, or what we call the Red Stripe ambulance, that was at Public Works in the backyard, and we cleaned it up, and we're going to use that as a transport vehicle so that we don't contaminate the other two active ambulances. We have canceled all drills, meetings, gatherings with the fire department of anyone more than five people, and anyone who comes through the door will be screened, employees, volunteers, and staff.
Okay, great. Other parts of the thing or other updates you want to give at this point from your perspective?
It's a moving target.
Yep.
that's what I would say. I'm sure by the time we're done with this radio time, mm-hmm. That things will have changed already. Again, we're relying heavily on public health. So thank you, Aaron, for always keeping us up to date and answering our crazy questions. Again, we would just encourage people not to panic and to do their part. So okay. Hand washing, social distancing, covering their cough, all the usual things. And if they think they've been exposed or they have traveled from a jeopardized territory, go ahead and do the self-isolation.
Okay. And we do have Dr. Mark Tosillo here from Petersburg Medical Center. What messages do you want to get out to the community about preparing for this and doing the right thing?
Well, there's two issues. One is, you know, self-care. The biggest one is try to avoid getting sick. The second one for community purposes is if you get sick, stay home and don't give the gift that keeps on giving. If you are ill to the point where you think you require additional care, then the first thing is going to be make a phone call. We have a hotline at the hospital right now. And if you call any of the hospital numbers, it will prompt you to call that number and you will talk to someone live rather than get an electronic prompt.
So as a doctor, what are the red flags when you should be making that call? Versus just writing it out at home.
Right. Well, symptom-wise is you actually have trouble breathing. If you have, you know, muscle aches and a dry cough and you don't feel quite up to snuff, you've got some malaise or fatigue, then you're doing what needs to be done, which is fluids and hygiene and rest and Tylenol and Motrin. Most of the symptomatology is from the collarbones down rather than from the collarbones up, which we would think of as flu symptoms. But it's self-care, and then it's, you know, consider the next person, you know, as far as your potential to contaminate them. People that have the surgical masks for whatever reason, the purpose you wear that mask is so you protect other people from you. It is not a good protection from exposure in your environment. The 6-foot rule is a great way to do it. So basically, if people can't touch their fingers, you're almost assuredly just about 6 feet or more. And so these are airborne droplets. They're relatively heavy, which means after you cough, sneeze, talk, they are dispersed into the air in front of you, then they fall. And the expectation is within 6 feet, they've basically all dropped below your level of respiration or contamination. If you have chronic medical conditions, you have to make sure those things are well maintained. They're still the biggest risk at this point. But preparing almost like you would for anything else. You want to have, you know, water and food and all that kind of stuff. So if you don't feel like going out or you feel like it's scary out there, then you can kind of hunker down for a while.
Okay. Erin Michael, the public health nurse, would you add to that, or do you have other updates you would like to provide?
Well, I seem to be getting a lot of calls and questions about, we're coming back. I've got family coming back from traveling. So they did put out a new health alert this weekend that talked about recommendations if you are traveling and coming back into town. And for the most part, if you're traveling in the United States, the recommendation is, and we're a level 2 country, considered a level 2 country, is obviously you want to, if you have signs or symptoms, call ahead, just like Dr. Tosillo said, and let them know so they can prepare ahead of time. But if you don't have signs or symptoms, then you can do the social distancing like everybody else in town is doing. They encourage people to avoid using public transport, so like taxis or things like that. If you've been traveling outside of Alaska, or even in Alaska, for certain parts of Alaska, and taking your temperature twice a day for 2 weeks. So it doesn't mean you have to completely isolate yourself if you have been in the lower 48, but we do want you to take precautions. And if you can, it's best effort for everyone if you can stay home, if at all possible.
And temperature, start noticing if you're, what, above 100? And if it goes much more above that, then you really should be calling someone, right?
Or 100.4 is the actual official number, but okay. If you're running, if you feel feverish, that should warrant a call to talk to somebody.
Okay. All right. I think hopefully we have Phil Hofstetter and Lori Miller with the Petersburg Medical Center in the other room. Guys, can you hear us?
Can you hear us? We're in.
We can. Go ahead. Phil, you're on. What's the latest from the medical center from the top on down?
Yeah, sure. Dr. Tosillo did a great job of explaining where our current status is. Some of the things that maybe have changed over the weekend, and again, it's a rapidly changing and evolving recommendation process, we've kind of upticked our incident command. We escalated, I suppose, if you were to scale it on a rating, it would be like DEFCON 3, so to speak. And as a result of that, we're really trying to make sure that we're having everyone come in through the ER and entrances to have screening done. We have screening available at a clinic as well, and also if you come down to therapies. We are talking about limiting some of the appointments. We are enforcing a no travel policy for our PMC work. We are encouraging employees not to travel outside of Alaska. And we're becoming a little bit more aggressive on folks who've traveled outside of Alaska coming back in. So you may see healthcare workers that have masks. That does not mean they have symptoms. If they have symptoms, they are not working at PMC. They're staying at home. So we've also increased the availability for certain employees to work at home, and we haven't quite implemented that yet, but that may be something that's coming this week. Those are the highlights.
Phil, I'll be asking probably on most shows, have you tested anyone yet for coronavirus?
Yeah, so a couple of things. We are a couple of patients that met criteria, and we did send outs for testing. You know, we can't expand on some more of that information, obviously, but we did. We're being very vigilant. We're being very proactive on this. So we had some that met the check boxes.
But no results back yet?
Negative. No results back yet.
All right. Lori Miller, how about your from your standpoint, emergency preparedness at the medical center?
Like Phil said, we have increased our incident command level. So we're basically holding a few more meetings, and we're being very vigilant in the tracking of our strategies, what we're doing, and we're trying to stay abreast of the latest changes. Other than that, it's business as usual for us.
Okay, great. And we are joined as well by Erica Klute-Painter, school's superintendent. Big announcement on Friday afternoon after we had last talked about students not being back in class, at least for another week past spring break. What are you doing now to prepare after that announcement is out?
Well, we're in a similar situation, I guess, that Phil's describing as well. Just, you know, things are kind of ramping up and increasing a bit with the level of communication with our admin team, and also just trying to keep parents and families, you know, in the loop, and also trying to maintain some sanity and rational thinking throughout that. So at this point, kids are out and staff are out this week for spring vacation. Next week will also be an extended week of spring vacation for kids. So I've had a lot of questions about that. No, you don't have to make up the 5 days next week. It's a very important question that kids want to know. So that is, they get 5 days. Beyond that, on March 30th, school will start in some capacity, and we will be communicating with families and students about that. It will be whether we're back on site, which seems unlikely. More likely it'll be a distance delivery model, and we have lots of creative thinking going on about how that's going to look, especially for our youngest students. Fairly well set up with middle and high school kids and our upper elementary, but we have some work to do on just kind of deploying technology and what that will all look like. We have good people working on those plans, so that's happening.
But you haven't decided yet whether kids would actually be returning physically to class or be getting distance learning, or are you committing to going with the distance?
I think at this point it's looking very likely that's going to happen, and I mean that it'll be distance. Mm-hmm. And I think we're already making those arrangements to start with food delivery. That's been a big question we've also received, especially for our free and reduced children in the community. They receive a couple of meals a day through us, and we already have plans for that.
Okay.
And that actually will start next week.
Okay.
So that will not wait until the 30th. So I would like to just say that out loud. Stay tuned. We'll be pushing out information about pickup locations and procedures for that, and also locations where we'll drop things off and how that will look. We'll have lots more details for people as the week evolves. But knowing that there will be meals available, they are free of charge. That's another question. That's not just for free and reduced families. That is for all children. And actually, it extends down to children clear down to age one. So younger siblings are also eligible for meals, and we're really happy about that, because that is a huge concern for people just with the preschools and child care facilities closing down. So again, that's just a reassurance to people. That's age one up. So younger siblings are eligible for those meals as well.
Okay, so stay tuned for announcements on those.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Anything else from the school district standpoint?
Just be patient with us. We're not going to have every detail perfectly ironed out. This is mostly just for parents and kids to know. But we will have a system in place. We will have opportunities for communication with teachers, because we really value those relationships. And we're very fortunate. We have a lot of technology here, a lot of access, a lot of really competent people that know what they're doing. So we don't want to lose connection with our kids and our families, and we are very committed to making sure that continues. So.
Okay, and travel restrictions, people who are all coming back from spring break in another week, mm-hmm. are you going to put any kind of restriction in terms of people who have been out of state or anywhere else?
That's also looking more likely,
okay.
Just as everybody else on the radio here was already referring to. We get the same updates that everybody else does as far as those recommendations for out of country, out of state, even just out of the community. So we'll be erring on the side of caution. We do have a couple people who actually are out of country, and they will probably not be really joining us at all. And then others that will be either on a self you know, home quarantine, that kind of thing. And so, and people are very upfront about this and very willing to work within it. Nobody is, you know, everybody's being very on the forefront, and many people canceled plans just because they, you know, and I couldn't say one way or the other 3 or 4 days ago where we would be. So I said, if you're asking me personally, I'd probably stick around. I canceled my trip, but people did make some trip, you know, some decisions, and that's personal choice. But I think things are changing rapidly.
You'll be dialing up the substitute teachers pretty soon, I think.
Yeah,
right?
they're running quickly, I'm sure.
All right. Well, thanks. Access to all the borough facilities, medical center stuff, I think it was already restricted in terms of who could come into various places and long-term care and the Mountain View Manor. And we heard that announcement on Friday. Is it anything else changed with that? I think it's just family members or medical providers that can come into those two places. This question for Sandy and or Phil and Lori, if you're listening still.
Yeah, this is Phil. We are not allowing visitors. I have to have approved visitors into the facility. We're also asking family members of staff not to come into the facility as well. We are screening everyone. And if you look at our badges, you'll see a yellow dot on our badge, which the color will change, so we'll make sure that every day we'll have screening done.
A dot means you've been screened and cleared.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. Yes.
Okay. And Sandy at Manor, I think, is just family members and medical providers, and there's screenings there, right?
As far as I know, that plan has not changed.
Okay.
So I think they're still going to honor that.
Okay. And any other access to any of the borough facilities? You don't know any other restrictions?
Not yet.
Okay.
Other than the fire department, like I mentioned earlier. And then, of course, encouraging people not to come if they don't have to.
Okay. All right. Round the horn real quick. Anyone else we miss who has anything last minute to add in that I haven't asked about?
I would throw in that we are also implementing the same sort of screening procedure that the hospital is doing in the clinic with our staff. We're fortunate because we are out, so we have a small number of people right now. But, you know, we just met this morning. We did everybody's temperature over there. We met with about 8 of us in a small-ish room. So we're trying to, you know, model what we are asking other people to do, too. So
great.
I guess that's probably it.
I just want to remind everybody those key things. If you're sick, please, please, please stay home. And if you're requiring medical assistance, call ahead. Wash your hands. Use that good cough etiquette. Look out for each other. If people can't get out because they're trying to self-isolate because maybe they're elderly or high risk, then give them a call and say, hey, do you need some groceries? Do you need me to get you something? Or just call them and talk to them, because social isolation can impact people too. So
yeah.
Just remember all these key things and just to try to take care of each other.
I have one more. Can you hear me okay?
We got you, Phil.
Okay. Just for clarification, when we say screening, that doesn't mean we're testing. That doesn't mean we're testing for COVID.
You're screening for fevers,
yeah,
and symptoms. Yeah,
yeah,
understood
exactly.
The difference there. Okay yeah.
And the other thing is Dr. Tosilla mentioned a hotline. We will have that up and available for public probably by the end of today. And that will be a hotline for anyone to call 24/7. So we will get that to you, to the radio, probably by the end of today, the number.
Great.
I do have one more thing. This is Sandy. So get accurate information. Go to reliable sources. Call reliable facilities, so the hospital, public health, because people's friends and family have good intentions, but it's not always the right information. So make sure you get the right information.
Okay. Thank you all very much, and we'll see you again, most of you, this time tomorrow, and things will have changed dramatically again, I'm sure. So thank you very much. You're listening to KFSK in Petersburg.